Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
WWE superstars suffer delays leaving Saudi Arabia. We've got the ratings from Wednesday night, some grim figures from the investors' call, and a big new change to Survivor Series. For Friday, November the 1st, 2019, this is your Cultaholic Daily Wrestling News. So WWE have had a problem in leaving Saudi Arabia. This comes from Dave Meltzer on Twitter. He says talent were not allowed to leave on their flight and most are still there. 20 people, 12 of which were talent, have left, but the rest are indeed still there. This is a 14-hour flight. SmackDown starts in 17 hours. The last that we heard, the rest of the talent wasn't going to be able to leave for a lot longer than 3 hours. This also comes from PW Insider, who say the flight from Riyadh has been delayed for hours due to what sources indicate is a mechanical issue due to the fuel line of the plane, among other issues. WWE has been able to rush out certain talents on another plane, but have not been able to confirm which. Yeah, this is what we heard, that a new plane was being chartered over to Saudi Arabia to fly out some of the top talent to get back in time for SmackDown. This could really put SmackDown in a bit of jeopardy tonight, because so many of the guys on the main roster were in Saudi Arabia last night, and we just don't know how many of them are going to make it back in time. There probably is enough people who weren't in Saudi Arabia that you could probably fill Friday night SmackDown with. We know that there is a title match announced for tonight featuring The Revival defending against The New Day. Whether that will happen at the moment, we don't know. Obviously, when we know more, we will let you know about it too.
The Fiend rolls to the ashes and won the Universal Championship. Here is your winner and the new Universal Champion, The Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
A new Universal Champion was crowned in Saudi Arabia last night in the main event of Crown Jewel. Bray Wyatt defeated Seth Rollins in a Falls Count Anywhere match that couldn't stop for any reason, and it only stopped for a pinfall. This was a weird one. Another match bathed in red lights. Very difficult to follow a Falls Count Anywhere match when the lighting is so bad, in my opinion. It ended with Seth Rollins kicking The Fiend off of the stage into an electrical unit. We thought The Fiend was done and dusted, but he rose up from the proverbial ashes, felled Seth Rollins with his sister Abigail, and became the Universal Champion. There was a lot of concern that this would be the match that would finish off The Fiend Bray Wyatt, and the only way to stop that happening was to put the belt on him, and that's exactly what they've done. So The Fiend is now the Universal Champion. This throws up a lot of questions going forward, like, what will happen to that belt since The Fiend is a SmackDown guy? Will The Fiend move back to Raw now? Will he be a wild card? Is the wild card coming back? Who knows? But this match went a long way into sort of reviving what was fast becoming a bit of a damp squib with The Fiend character, which is good news. It's very good news. For everything else that happened at Crown Jewel, you can watch what happened at Crown Jewel on our YouTube channel right now. Jack the Jobber talks you through everything. We've got Crown Jewel graded with myself. We have a breakdown of each of the matches and how well they fared. And WTF moments from Crown Jewel with Ross Twiddell will be along very soon as well on our Cultaholic YouTube channel. So up against the World Series, Wednesday Night Wars took a bit of a battering. AEW managed to survive with 759,000 viewers, down a fifth from last week. It was a big drop for them. Also in their target demographic, they finished sixth overall, which is down almost a third from last week. Now, NXT wasn't down quite so much, but their number is still pretty grim in comparison. NXT averaged about 580,000 viewers, according to the Wrestling Observer, which is down 14% from last week. So it's less of a drop. The normal people who were there, they stuck around a little bit more than they did with AEW, but it's still quite a drop when you consider that this is the show that started at 1 million viewers. We are now at half of that. People just haven't stuck around, very much like with Friday Night SmackDown. People just don't seem to be sticking around for this episodic programming right now. But these figures aren't anything really in the grand scheme of things. It's up against the World Series, so this, you know, I say this every Wednesday, I feel like, but there's no panic stations as of now with regards to the figures. This should all even out next week for the next round of the Wednesday Night Wars. Some grim numbers on the WWE investors call. Vince McMahon wasn't there because he's in Saudi Arabia for Crown Jewel. George Barrios was leading this one. So a few of the cliff notes from it. $6.4 million is the operating income. This is down from 18.1 in last year's second quarter. Year on year, this is a very significant dip. This is apparently due to a decline in revenue and increases in fixed costs, including the impact of certain strategic investments. He's talking about Pyro, isn't he? He's talking about bringing back Pyro. Spent all that money on Pyro already. Yikes. The network subscriber drop is about 9%. This is pretty much what they predicted. So it's down 9% on quarter two to 1.53 million. They're predicting a further drop as we get closer to the end of the year and start of 2020. Talk again about this tiered subscription system and when that will come in. There's no confirmed date for that yet, but there is a belief that this will be something that resurges the WWE network numbers, because there'll be enough fans that can enjoy watching the network on a smaller, cheaper tariff. Like, if they want to just watch Raw and SmackDown and NXT and they're not bothered about an episode of World Class Championship Wrestling from 1989, there'll be a tiered system that suits them. And I believe everybody who wants the full tiered system, the full fat WWE network, will probably be charged a little bit more to have everything. So we'll see an increase in that once this tiered system comes in, I do believe. Live event revenue has declined to $23.2 million. They put this down to a weakened performance and less shows in North America. You only need to look at pictures from house shows, live events, and even TV shows to see that there is a drop off in audiences going to these shows. It's one of those things where it kind of eats itself, in the sense that if you have access to everything and all the wrestling you could ever want, you're less inclined when it comes into your town to go and see it if the product isn't really setting your world on fire. So I kind of get that. Consumer products decreased to $17 million. This is down from $19 million last year. So that's not a bad drop. That kind of feels like a bit of a hold steady, to be honest with you. The actual like merch and stuff like that hasn't really dipped too badly. I think that's about fine. George talked about NXT's move from the WWE network onto USA. Talks about the drive toward live events for NXT. Doesn't give an answer on whether or not they will leave Full Sail University. There's a big topic at the moment that keeps coming back on the fact that AEW, their competitor on a Wednesday night, are doing these big arena shows, and NXT doing these shows, great shows, I may add, but in front of Full Sail, which is a much smaller crowd. And the argument being that if they played big arenas, it would feel like a bigger experience, which is why there is talk of doing more than just Full Sail in 2020. WWE also expects the TV deal in India to be done in the next month or so. However, we have no timeline for the Middle East TV deal. When this was announced, there was a drop in the stock price, so I understand. Read into that what you will. Also, George Barrios talks about the total company growth outside the US. Majority of the growth for the company will be away from America next year, looking at places like China and India as places to really branch out what they do. NXT China, NXT India confirmed. Yeah, sure, if you like. On the subject of the Saudi Arabia shows, investors were told that they could not be guaranteed two Saudi Arabia shows per year going forward. So there may be a slight issue with the WWE deal with Saudi Arabia. We will wait and see how this goes. Accelerated investments was mentioned. They talk about the in-ring product and asked, they were asked if this year's Crown Jewel was more expensive as a result of Cain Velasquez and Tyson Fury being added to it. They also say the creation of the storyline, talent in ring, and producing content is all parts of the process that all saw increases. So everything got a little bit faster, and as a result, everything got a little bit more expensive. And AEW was spoken about. George Barrios said there is a lot of competition for eyeballs across the media and across sports entities, but they expect to win. So that's good. That's confidence from George Barrios. Yeah, some grim numbers in that investors call. That was it wasn't the most flowery of times to talk through some of those numbers. Some of them seem really obvious as to why these things are happening. Some of them seem more sort of like a cultural change, like the live event numbers being down. Like people don't really go to house shows and live events as much as they used to anymore because, you know, unless you're really invested in the product, there's no real desire to. Or if it's so, or you know, if you get like, I mean, for example, for argument's sake, if you've got a WWE live event in Florida, and it's near to Full Sail where they do NXT every week, or it's where they'll do a Raw every 6 months, are you really going to be that inclined to go? Probably not.
For the first time ever in head-to-head competition, Raw, SmackDown.
Monday Night Raw is my show.
SmackDown is my yard.
NXT is undisputed.
All bets are off. Raw!
SmackDown. NXT.
We ain't worried about Raw.
No, no.
We will survive.
Who owns the night? WWE Survivor Series pay-per-view.
We had a commercial for a Survivor Series pop up on the WWE Network, and apparently it's not just going to be Raw and SmackDown going at it this year. NXT is going to be brought into the fold for Survivor Series. For the first time ever in head-to-head competition, we will see Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. So said the advert. This is a surprise. I didn't think they'd be putting NXT in the mix with Raw and SmackDown. But the more I've sort of chewed on it, the more I kind of get it. Because the big issue with NXT, in comparison to AEW, and a few people have said this, is that for lapsed fans, there's nobody on NXT they really know. But on AEW, you've got Chris Jericho and the voice of Jim Ross, to name but two. So by putting the NXT guys up against AEW, the big issue you've got is there's great wrestling, and as a wrestling show, it's brilliant. I love watching NXT every week and talking about it on Graded. It's a cracking show. But yeah, they're not household names. So maybe the whole idea of putting them into the mix with Survivor Series is what will eventually make them feel a bit more like stars. So that makes sense to do that. We don't know how this is going to shake up just yet, and how Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT will go down. But of course, when we know more, you'll know more.
Ross, Adam, Tom, do the big dog five times each. Should we go one, two, three?
Go on then.
Okay. Go on then.
Big dog!
The big dog!
Big dog!
Big dog!
The big dog!
Big dog!
The big dog!
Big dog!
Big dog!
The big dog!
The big dog!
A big dog!
And the big dog!
It's the big dog!
There we go. I just kicked you very hard there, didn't I? I just landed on my bad toe. Really hurt. H. Smith, 1996.
And finally, want to end the week with a thank you. Yesterday, myself, Adam, Ross, Jack, and Sam, we all dressed up as it was Halloween, and we all watched Crown Jewel. We broadcast live reactions, and you joined us, and you helped us raise a lot of money towards Amnesty International. Now, Crown Jewel is, without getting political, Crown Jewel is always a little bit of a hotbed, to say it very, very lightly. And we've had a lot of conversations here in the office and with you about the coverage of Crown Jewel, and it's come and gone now. And in doing so, in covering it, we've managed to raise some money to help an amazing humanitarian cause. We haven't, you have. So I just wanted to take a time to say thank you for not only continuing to support us, but for stepping up and doing something amazing to support Amnesty International. And you got to watch us larking about on the stream as well. I know quite a few people that didn't watch Crown Jewel, but instead chose to watch us watching Crown Jewel. And it genuinely means a lot. From the bottom of my heart, I speak, I'm very honoured to speak for Adam, for Jack, for Ross, for Sam, for everybody here. And say thank you for coming along last night and having a laugh with us and raising some money for Amnesty International. You are brilliant. That will do it for the Cultaholic Daily News podcast for this week. It is back on Monday and we go again. Have yourself an amazing weekend. I will speak to you Monday. Don't forget to join us. I love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.